Welcome to HBTV, a special broadcast. I'm Harry Binswanger, the HB in HBTV. We're talking about the terrible, disgusting, barbaric actions of Hamas toward Israel. And I think you can tell where I stand by the adjectives I've used. And Razi, I guess you're on camera, I hope. You're here?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Harry.
Okay. Razi is a native of Israel, lives in the UK now, and is the head of the Ayn Rand Center of the United Kingdom, ARC UK. I'm going to speak on the philosophic meaning of this terrible event and then ask Razi to fill us in on some more specifics that a philosopher doesn't get to delve into if he's thinking about the history of this whole thing as I am. The history of philosophy is what I'm thinking about. So I want to begin by reading to you some quotes. The point of this is to know how to judge events in full context. I was at coffee with some non-objectivist comrades today, and there was a lot of belief, well, Israel, this is terrible what Hamas has done, but Israel's done bad things too. So we side with Israel, but we can't pretend that they're not guilty too. They have dirty hands. All sides are dirty. And this is a terrible, terrible error. It comes from not identifying essentials, not thinking in principles. The question to ask is, what kind of entity is it? What kind of entity is Hamas? What kind of entity is Israel? And I mean what kind in the deepest philosophic sense. The way to find out about the philosophy of a large-scale historic movement or nation or entity is to look at its writings. No large-scale historical entity makes an appearance, can gather adherents without writings, without statements of its philosophy, its ideology, its morality. Every movement, whether it's Hitler or Stalin's or the Bolsheviks before him, or the United States or any other country that gains a mass following, has to have an explicit philosophic program on the essentials of philosophy. What is man? What is society? What is the good? What is the purpose of organizing force into a collective group, which is what government is or what Hamas is, short of a government? So I was thinking about that in regard to this quote from Abraham Lincoln. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. The United States was conceived in liberty, that is, conceived to be a land of the free, and dedicated to a proposition, the proposition that all men are created equal, meaning not that all men achieve the same thing or have the same intelligence or are journalistically the same in that way, but that they are all equal before, well, we put it equal metaphysically. They're all equally human beings. They all have the equal rights the law has to be of a society has to be indifferent to all attributes of the individual that it's acting towards, except those that the individual has chosen to put into action. If he's a criminal, he's treated differently than if he's innocent. But if he's a Ukrainian or a Mexican or a Minnesotan or a Unitarian or a Jew or a Christian or tall or short, he's treated the same according to the American conception. And that harkens back to the other important document regarding the United States, which has this one sentence that I want to call your attention to. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now that tells you the nature of the United States, at least at the time of its founding, and obviously it's changed considerably since then, but this was the original idea, and it's taken centuries to get even halfway away from that as we are today. What are the founding documents of Hamas? Because there are such. There are two statements, the original statement, which I believe is 1988, and an update, but I'm going to read you the original statement because that's how they gained their following. This is from it. It's prominent in it. Obviously, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just picking out the essentials. The prophet, Allah, bless him and grant him salvation. Sorry, the prophet, that's Muhammad. Allah bless him and grant him salvation, has said, quote, the day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews. And the comment in parenthesis, which I think is from a commentator, killing the Jews. Later on in that document, it says Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. Now, you've heard the call to end, is to wipe Israel out. What does that mean? They want to kill all the Jews. They want to do what Hitler tried to do, exterminate every Jew. In fact, the Arab states, of which Hamas is a kind of gang example, sided with Hitler. They were allies of Hitler during World War II. So this is not speculation. They are dedicated to the proposition that all the Jews should be killed. What is the philosophy behind that? Because that's a concrete, all the Jews should be killed. Just pulling a couple of little excerpts. The readiness to, it talks about the readiness to sacrifice life and all that is precious for the sake of Allah. The readiness to sacrifice life and all that is precious for the sake of Allah. This is in the founding document, the charter of Hamas. My final quote from that screed. How excellent was the Muslim poet Muhammad Iqbal when he wrote, if faith is lost, there is no security, and there is no life for him who does not adhere to religion. He who accepts life without religion has taken annihilation as his companion for life. So what do we have in the founding document of Hamas? a statement that faith and sacrifice and service to this imaginary being is everything, that that's what you should live for, that's what you should obey. There's no life outside of the Islamic Muslim religion. And what does Muslim mean? Submission. It's all about service to an imaginary supernatural being, killing yourself, killing other people. Let me jump ahead a little bit to Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden said, "The Americans worship life. We worship death." That is the nature, that is the alternative that confronts us. Are we on the side of life, reason, freedom, or on the side of death, faith, and slaughter? Well, it's pretty clear where Israel is. Its statement of independence, proclamation of independence from 1948, is not as good as the Declaration of Independence penned by Jefferson, but it's a different universe from the Hamas declaration. So remember, sacrifice everything, faith, live for service to Allah. Here's the Israeli Proclamation of Independence, a relevant part. The State of Israel will promote the development of the country for the benefit of all its inhabitants, not for the service to Allah or Yahweh or whatever the God is called. For the benefit of all its inhabitants, will be based on precepts of what? The Quran, the Pentateuch, the five books of the Bible. Liberty will be based on precepts of liberty, justice, and peace taught by the Hebrew prophets. Uh-oh, creeping in. Will uphold the full social and political equality of all its citizens without distinction of race, creed, or sex. We're in a different universe. Will guarantee full freedom of conscience, worship, education, and culture. Will safeguard the sanctity and inviolability of shrines and holy places of all religions, and will dedicate itself to the principles of the Charter of the United Nations. What was their foreign policy? Remember the Hamas one, Israel will exist until we wipe it out. In other words, you can't ignore it. It needs to be obliterated. Here's Israel. We offer peace and amity to all neighboring states and their people, and invite them to cooperate with the independent Jewish nation for the common good of all. With those different philosophies, you know how to evaluate a war between them. One group mobilizes itself by calling for the slaughter of people whose faith differs from their own. The other talks about precepts of liberty, cooperation, amity, which means friendship, and no distinction of race, creed, or sex, and respecting the holy principles of all religions. So in that context, you have to side with Israel if you're a human being. You don't look at, well, in 1973, they were rough on so-and-so when they were fighting for their survival. And, you know, there have been some bad things. It's like what defenders of the Jews wrongly said to the Nazis, to the Nazi sympathizers before they took power. Sure, there are a lot of things to complain about in regard to Jews. Yes, there are greedy and crooked Jews. Yeah, that's a problem. But not all of us are that way. Don't condemn the, that's the wrong way to defend a nation or defend a people. You defend a people by their essence, and their essence is revealed in the statements by their leaders. Not just any statement that appears in the country. I mean, the guys who thought they were going away on the Hale-Bopp comet did not speak for the United States. So why are we justified in looking at the founding documents? Because people rallied to them, and that's how they got where they are. Hamas gained its following by appealing to these principles. They did not gain a following by saying, well, let's have cooperation and amity. Let's respect all religions. Now come and join Hamas. They got their following by saying, it's intolerable that there are Jews next door. We need to kill them. Allah demands it. So that's the right way to judge it. And when they act in accordance with it, when they act in accordance with their promise to exterminate Jews, that is an act of the essence of Hamas. When Israel defends itself, that's an act of self-defense, which is proper and moral. And when all you need to know is that, well, I mean, there's so much that is obvious, but just one obvious thing. Hamas took hostages. Everybody knows that, right? We all know that. It's very prominent in news. They seize hostages. Why did they seize hostages? To hold them as human shields and to blame anything that happens on them, to them on Israel. Now, can you see Israel doing that? We're going to take some Palestinians and we're going to kill a few of them and say to the Palestinian Authority, if you come against us, we're going to kill the rest. Can you see Jews wearing suicide vests and going into a square in Gaza where Palestinians are and blowing themselves up? No. I hope you can't. The other thing you need to know that a philosopher needs to tell you is, first is judge by the essence. Second is judge the essence by their explicit statements, their founding statements. Not an incidental statement here and there, but the thing on which they gained their following. And the third thing is look at the nature of their philosophy and what it requires. A philosophy of faith, a philosophy based upon your life belongs to Allah, demands slaughter. There has never been a religion in power that based on faith, that didn't slaughter. For instance, the Catholic Church wiped out the Cathars in France, killed something like 30,000 of them in the Middle Ages when the Catholic Church was the only church that was going and the Cathars were considered heretics. The Pope said, when asked, what do we do with the innocent children, the innocent women, the people maybe there who don't believe? He said, kill them all. God will know his own. If you believe that there is no such means of dealing with people as reason, if it's just, well, I believe this, you don't, there's something wrong with you. And I'm hearing voices from a supernatural being who tells me I must do whatever he says, slaughter is inevitable. You cannot have a society based on the premise, God speaks to me and tells me what is good and tells me to do what is good. And according to my precepts, you are evil, but I respect your rights. I'm not going to interfere. You have your beliefs, I have my beliefs. No, I'm hearing from God that we have to kill these people. Then you're going to do it. So it's a combination of faith and what Ayn Rand called the intrinsic theory of the good. The good is something in the world independent of you, your life, your values, which you have a duty to serve. Of course, all dictatorships are based upon the idea that your life belongs to the dictator, the state, and your duty is to do what you were ordered to do. So it's impossible to have freedom with that. Now, how come, if that's true, that the United States has, even in a declaration, endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights? Because they didn't think it was faith. They thought they could prove that there was a creator and that we should go by reason. Ethan Allen of Vermont wrote, "Reason, the only oracle of man." They were deists. They were not like Muslim fanatics or Christian fanatics. They believed in a rational God who did not require them to obey anything they did not understand. They believed in living by your own mind, and you would come to understand. Someone had to set the universe in motion or something, and we owe that a certain reverence. But Thomas Jefferson, for instance, who wrote the Declaration, prepared a special Bible, the Jefferson Bible, it's called. And he cut out all the supernatural thing from the Bible and left only the teachings of Jesus, which are not good teachings, but at least they're not based on, in Jefferson's view, they're not matters of faith. They're matters of common sense. So the founding fathers were deists. They were not fanatics. They did not believe in faith. So I have one final point before I ask Rossi for corroboration, what he can add on this, and that is, it's no accident that Ayn Rand was raised Jewish. I was raised Jewish. Rossi was raised Jewish. Yaron was raised Jewish. Leonard Peikoff was raised Jewish. Jews predominate in objectivism, as they do in all intellectual movements. They predominate in the leftist movements too. They predominate in any intellectual endeavor, and Israel has more Nobel Prizes per capita than anywhere. They predominate because Judaism does not appeal to faith. I was raised Jewish. I never heard, never, from my parents or my rabbi or anybody, you must just believe, you must have faith. Don't try to understand, just have faith, just believe. We never heard that. In Christian households, they're sometimes taught it's a sin to question. That is not what Jews think. So granted that the Jewish religion is wrong. It's wrong from top to bottom. There is no God. The Ten Commandments, half of them are horrible. And it's disgusting that Israel is officially a theocracy, a Jewish state. That's disgusting. However, among the religions, this is the least mystical. Judaism is the most intellectual and least mystical of the religions. And incidentally, I'm violating what I said. Rossi, I'll get to you in one second. Islam used to be very intellectual. Islam believed in reason, or at least a good portion of it. When was that? Well, from about 800 AD to 1200 AD, Islam led the world. It was the most cultured and advanced civilization in the world when they advocated reason, when they had intellectuals who advocated reason. And they tolerated the Jews. It's called the Golden Age of the Jews in Toledo in Spain, where they were tolerated. They were not persecuted for being Jews because there was a respect for reason. You ever heard of algebra? Known as algebra? You know, all the stars like Betelgeuse. Where does a name like Betelgeuse come from? It's an Arabic name. What about Arabic numerals? Now, I hear they got them from India, but they used them. The Arabs were the most advanced society of their time when they were under the influence of, drumroll, Aristotle. A lot of Arab thinkers adopted the philosophy of Aristotle, and the culture that allowed them to function was the most advanced at that time. The Europeans were the barbarians of that time. So what happened? I'm not an expert on this, but preliminary indications are that a philosopher named Al-Ghazali, G-H-A-Z-A-L-I, arose, who wrote against philosophy, meaning against rational investigation of big questions. And he was the big ender of the Aristotelian phase in Islam, and he ushered in the Dark Ages of Islam. He ushered in the irrationality that we now see before us. I guess I should try and just summarize this. The fundamental of human events is philosophy. Philosophy determines history. People act on what they think, even when they act on what they feel, even when they act on emotions. The emotions they have come from what they have decided is true. Even if they didn't quite decide, just picked it up. But their emotions come from ideas too. So it all comes back to what people think is true. And the basic truths are what philosophy studies, the widest principles. So philosophy rules everything. If your philosophy is against reason, against living life, then you're going to be murderous. That is your society, at least. Maybe you will shy back from it, but in principle, anyone who believes that he hears voices of this unseen supernatural being who gives him orders is not going to be able to have amity and cooperate with other people because they'll disagree. They have their own voices if they're religious. So there's nothing to do. You can't convince them because it's not open to reason. You either see the truth or you don't. And if you have to do what's true, then what God wants you to do, then you have to murder if he commands you to. And sooner or later, he will. So to summarize it, Allah Akbar, God is great, is the chant of the Islamic jihadists and the ordinary person in the Islamic countries. What's the toast? I don't want to say the Jews are perfect, but what's the toast of Jews when they drink? L'chaim, to life. Reason goes with life, goes with freedom. Faith goes with death, goes with slaughter. Your death as well as the person that God tells you to kill. Okay, Razi, I'm sorry I spoke so long, but this is a big event.
Yeah, so let me just thank our super chatters and and remind anybody who has a question for Harry to sorry, to please send it in a super chat of £20 or higher. Now, Harry, the quotes you read from the Hamas charter, that's not a secret document that you got your hands on. You know, that's it's exclusive to us. This has been known to everybody. This has been known to Israel. Israel knew what is right up on its border, and something that I've been struggling with, particularly, is people who tell me in recent days, Israelis who say, "I can't believe it," because this is not a surprise. You know, it's a surprise in the sense that the army wasn't ready for it, but we've seen those ideas put into practice, and the practice of it, and we've discussed this on the channel. Some of you, I'm sure, have seen the images and the videos on social media of terrorists going door to door, going into villages, taking over the villages, going door to door, shooting people in their home, holding families captive, and then either executing them or taking them hostage. The hostages range from, you know, babies to people in their 80s. They pride themselves on this. This is something that when they brought in, you can see this in videos as well, they brought in either living civilians that they captured or dead bodies. The local mob runs at them, attacks them, you know, kicks bodies. We see them essentially living their values, I think, in those videos.
And I would add another philosophic influence. The reason why Israel wasn't prepared, the reason why this kind of thing could even exist, by this kind of thing, I mean Hamas, is that the West no longer believes in reason. The West has lost its nerve. Why? Because it's just made up of weak people? No. Because the philosophy of the last 200 years is a counter-revolution against the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment used to be called the Age of Reason, which is a better name for it. The Age of Reason was what produced the Founding Fathers and John Locke, the Founding Fathers' founding father. There's been a revolt against reason since Immanuel Kant, who wrote the same time, the same year that Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence. Immanuel Kant, a German philosopher, wrote the Critique of Pure Reason. The Critique of Pure Reason. And in it, he said, in the introduction to the second edition, "I found I had to deny knowledge to make room for faith." There's no getting around it. Kant was the destroyer of the Age of Reason. He wanted to save religion from the advance of science. If he had not succeeded, if he had not lived and had not been an evil genius who could think up arguments that people couldn't answer at that time, there would be simply the triumph of the West. Religion would have ceased to be known even for 100 years or more. The United States would be an atheist country, and all civilized world countries in the world would be atheists. And the people who still believed in things like Allah, "I must sacrifice my life to Allah," would be laughed at. And there wouldn't be such a thing as either a Jewish state or a organized Arab nation trying to wipe it out. And if there were some anti-civilization people, the West would crush them. Israel is now getting to the point where they realize we can't make terms with these people. We have to wipe them out. We have to crush Hamas and I'm sure Hezbollah and all the rest. Why didn't they get that idea earlier? Because they did not have the confidence that they were right, because they did not have the confidence that reason is the only means of knowledge and that their society should have been, was mostly based on reason, but should have been completely based on reason. And it would be unthinkable that, for instance, a scientist would play footsie with a mystic. They would just, it would just be the triumph of what had started in about 1500 through about 1800, which is more and more science, more and more respect for reason, more and more individualism, more and more individual rights theory and freedom spreading throughout the world. But just as the Arabs had Al-Ghazali, we had Immanuel Kant, and no one was able to fully answer his case, even though it was pretty damn weak. It was very convoluted, very involved. No one was able to answer that until Ayn Rand. Yeah, that's right. No one was able to answer it until Ayn Rand. And you go ask any modern philosopher, go into your local school and say, is there some fallacy in what Kant held? Is there some way to answer him? They won't know. Okay, so I just wanted to add that the weakness of Israel and the United States, the weakness of the West, it's been called, is due to the fact that Kant has saved religion from the advance of reason and science.
But Harry, you say you think Israel now realizes that they have to crush Hamas and Hezbollah. I hope you're right. I have my very serious doubts, though.
Yeah, I do too. I'm just going by a headline in the Wall Street Journal as a front page story today about Israel switches course. And they're no longer thinking stalemate and containment. They're thinking we have to crush Hamas. I don't think that'll last.
Yeah, I expect a military operation that is more comprehensive than Israel usually does. But again, the fact that it's been days, and Israel usually uses as an excuse, the politicians in Israel use as an excuse, the fact that the U.S. won't let us, the rest of the world won't let us. If that was a concern, the serious part of the military operation should have happened on Saturday. It should have happened immediately. That was when the world led us, so to speak.
So
this is something that generally I think in Israel there is this form of faith in everything's going to be okay, regardless of which maybe comes from a somewhat positive view of we're living life, what's going to stop us from living our lives. But I think it gets people just ignoring reality, ignoring the threat, and this time we saw the consequences of that in its fullest form.
Yaron Brook, who's originally Israeli and is now chairman of the board of the Ayn Rand Institute, gave a talk at an objectivist conference about 25 years ago. And it was about the suicide of Israel, how Israel is committing suicide. And things have only gotten worse since then. I mean, you can see it in our culture in America that, you can't say that Indians, meaning what they call Native Americans, that Indians were savages. Oh, no, you mustn't say that. It's a terrible word to say. They were living in harmony with nature. We're the savages. This whole woke and politically correct self-abnegation is inconsistent with being a reliable ally to Israel. We have a failure of nerve right here. We're afraid to call a spade right here. We're afraid to stand for anything. So how are we going to stand up for Israel?
Yeah. And this was referred to, including by us, as Israel's 9/11. And I think it's not just the scope of the terrorist attack. Unfortunately, it's also going to be a response similar to America's response to 9/11.
Yes. Namely, doing next to nothing.
Yeah.
Token action. We took action in Afghanistan, and that action was to bomb them and send them food at the same time. And we let Osama bin Laden get away. And I mean, we were just very pusillanimous there. And then we invaded not Iran, but Iraq, the only nation in the region that wasn't a religious dictatorship. It was a secular dictatorship. I mean, it deserved to be overthrown. Maybe I should say one more thing about, well, Israel took the Arab land, that trope. That is really disgusting because, first of all, there is no Arab land. What? There is no Arab land. Countries don't own land. They can claim to own it like our government claims to own about 95% of the land in Arizona. But there's no moral legitimacy to that. Governments cannot own property. They could maybe own the land underneath their government buildings, the legitimate ones, but I think they would lease it. But government does not own the country. Our country is owned by the individuals living in it. Not democratically, you know, not collectively, but I own the land outside my house. You may rent somewhere and not own any land, or you own the land that you own. Individual ownership, individual private property, it is the only moral and actual ownership that there is. So there was no Arab land. There was no Palestinian land that we took. We, and see, I'm identifying with Israel. I never cared a fig about Israel when I was growing up, raised in the Jewish religion, which I didn't accept. But they're the good guys now, so I kind of half identify with them, despite their Jewishness. So there is no Palestinian land. There's this Palestinian's land, maybe, although its government doesn't recognize, they never really had private property, but they had a semblance of it. I'm sure you can't function without some semblance of private property. And those pieces of land were paid for. They were bought. They weren't seized. Israel didn't send people in with guns to seize somebody's farm. They bought him. This is a ignored, covered up part of history, of Israel's history. And, you know, even if Al Capone buys some land, you can't say, oh, the police can't go there because that's his land. Owning land doesn't give you the right to launch missiles or grenades or bullets into some other people, whether they're on your land or not on your land. You cannot murder in the name of, well, it's my property, so I can murder. It's not their property. And even if it were, it wouldn't give them the right to do things to Israel of anything remotely like what they're doing. They could take them to the world court, but they have no case. They can't do that. So this is a complete disgusting smokescreen coming out of collectivism. Well, they're there. So it's there. That is the collective's land. And now Israel's there and Israel's the collective. So one collective has pushed the other collective off of its land. No, land is only owned by individuals and nobody pushed an individual off his land. But if they had, the recompense is through courts, not through slaughter.
Harry, just a quick last point about Iran. So you mentioned how Iran was not one of the targets after 9/11. And I think the big part of the excuse for that was, well, a couple of excuses. One was that it was easier to build a coalition around an attack, you know, or a war on in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, 9/11 itself wasn't directly done by Iran. Therefore, there was that excuse. Israel does not have that excuse now. Hamas is acting on behalf of Iran. The fact that it wasn't the Iranian army, it was, you know, contractors they hired, doesn't mean that, you know, you can. This was an attack by a country, ultimately, and yeah. I don't expect because I know what to expect, but I would think, you know, the right thing to do here would be to remove the regime in Iran, and this, you know, should be done by Israel. And if America supports Israel the way Biden's early rhetoric in the first 24 to 48 hours, if that is the case, then this is where America could step in.
Right.
Is that going to happen?
It's not going to happen because we don't have the confidence that we're right. There's this doctrine of the self-determination of nations, the right of self-determination of nations. Well, if that's what they want, who are we to stop them? I'll tell you who we are. We are the voice of justice, reason, individual rights. And there's no difference between Al Capone's gang terrorizing parts of Chicago and the Iranian mullahs terrorizing the whole of Iran. Something that's evil and immoral when done by one gangster doesn't become moral and legitimate when done by 100 gangsters or 1,000 gangsters. Even if every single Iranian citizen voted, which would be impossible, voted to authorize the Iranian regime, it would have zero legitimacy. You cannot authorize a regime that initiates physical force against people, against innocent people. Well, by definition, if it's initiation, not retaliation, you're going against an innocent person who has not used force. So a rights-violating country, a government that doesn't respect individual rights is a criminal gang to the extent that it doesn't recognize them. The Iranian theocracy is the worst kind of criminal gang, one united by a mystical philosophy that speaks to ghosts that they imagine dwell in an unperceivable place and get their orders from documents written by camel herders 600 years, not 600, a thousand and 1,500 years ago. So 1,400 years ago. So when you look at it that way, and you say, here are these ignorant, medieval, life-hating mystics who are training people to kill those who do love life and those who do produce, it puts a rather different spin on it than to say, well, the Arabs, sure, they pushed at Israel, but Israel pushed at the Arabs, and maybe the Arabs have gone a little bit too brutal here, but they've got a just complaint. They have no just complaint. The envy of all Palestinians are those who live in Israel. Their standard of living, their freedom, their happiness is 10 times that which it is in the regime of the Palestinians. Israel guarantees all rights to all its citizens, including the Palestinians. So it's completely one-sided. If there's a right and a wrong, and it's black and white.
Well, someone once told me that you should always end a presentation on something on a positive note. Luckily for me, this is not RGTV, it's HBTV. So Harry, if you have a positive note.
The positive note is that we can do this, you and I, that there are people who recognize the inviolability of reason and individual rights, and we are able to speak out to thousands through the inventions of man's mind, the computer and the internet. So I'm optimistic, but not for tomorrow. I'm optimistic in the long run, and I think reason will triumph. Let's end on that note.
Yeah, and let's encourage everybody who agrees and sees this content as valuable to share it, like it, subscribe, help the algorithm show it to more people. And of course, here on ARC UK, all our content for the time being is about the war in Israel. So we will be back with more tomorrow.
Thank you.